The goal of this podcast is to help you break in and thrive in advertising. And we do that every week by sharing the stories and advice of those who are rocking it on the other side. This week, we learn from Jeff Sweat. Jeff Sweat is the founder of Sweat & Co., a PR consultancy focused on advertising. As an ex-journalist, content marketing pioneer, two-time novelist, and agency PR veteran, Jeff has learned it's not enough to tell a story. You have to create a story worth telling. True that. Jeff learned agency PR in a masterclass as the former communications director for 72 and Sunny and Deutsch LA. And since launching in 2015, the 12-person Sweat & Co. has helped its ad agency clients grow press hits by an average of 300% in the first year and win awards like Ad Age Small Agency of the Year and Fast Company Most Innovative Companies. Under Jeff's leadership, Sweat & Co. has helped agencies get their stories straight by refining everything from ad campaigns to company culture, all the way to the creative process itself. As a result, Jeff believes everyone has the power to produce work that gets people talking by putting PR at the center of everything they do. Good agencies tell their clients' stories. Great agencies tell their own. Based on Jeff's published article, How to Be Famous in 6 Steps, Sweat & Co. has created one place to curate and analyze news in the industry that just works. And you can subscribe to How to Be Famous newsletter to receive valuable insights straight to your inbox. And we'll put all the links in the show notes. On with the show. This is the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. And as usual, I'm your accomplice, Gino Schellenberger. Kick it, Mikey. All right, Jeff Sweat, welcome to Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. How are you doing today?
I am good. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Where are you located, Jeff?
I am located in Los Angeles, California. Right now, we are getting what for us is some very cold weather, but I know for the rest of the country, they're not going to be super pumped to hear that.
Gotcha. Tell us in a couple words how you would describe the LA PR advertising scene in your eyes.
So LA is a really interesting ad market. I think for a long time, it was an afterthought. It was kind of known for car accounts because Honda and Toyota and everyone had their, you know, their agencies here. And so I would say it was kind of considered a bit of a backwater until about 10, 15 years ago. And agencies like Deutsch LA and 72 and Sunny really kind of caught fire. And I was lucky enough to be there at those agencies when that was happening and really saw a huge scene sort of build up around, you know, a few key agencies. Obviously, Shiat is another one that,
of course,
it is a mainstay and has been for a really long time. And what ends up happening is most of those agencies are on the same street, you know, so it's not Madison Avenue. I think it's Jefferson Boulevard. And you really get to know everybody. And, you know, chances are you're going to work at the agency down the street eventually. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening is it's a tight knit scene. We're competitive, but we're not jerks to each other. And it used to be that, like, if you moved to LA, you were sort of betting on whatever agency was hiring you, because if they didn't pan out, then you were kind of out of luck. And now people come here, I think, because it's exciting. You know, and we have obviously entertainment and culture as a huge export of LA, but technology has a strong role here as well. Yep. I think that bringing those three things together, sometimes literally next door to each other, makes it a really fun place to be in advertising.
Hey, doesn't sound bad to me at all.
Is that to say, get on out here. And our winters are typically a lot better. So
yeah. Definitely. And you listed out some great agencies and a couple that you worked at, 72 and Sunny, Deutsch LA. But I want to talk about where you're at right now.
Yeah.
Because you're at Sweat & Co. That's your company. You're the founder of it. You're the boss there. So exactly. tell us about that yourself in a nutshell, like about the company.
Yeah, definitely. So I came into advertising from kind of an odd direction. I'll tell you that in a bit. But I have been running Sweat & Co. for going on 8 years. After I left 72 and Sunny, I realized that what I was doing, which was PR for agencies, is something that not every agency gets to do. It's not something that, like, it's a splurge for a lot of agencies to hire their own person. And I think, you know, that like it's a luxury for a lot of agencies. And I realized that we would be more effective if we could essentially offer it as a service model, you know, where we're coming in for a fraction of time, helping people with where they need us most and giving some guidance.
So this is interesting because I do this full time for my agency, Havas Chicago. And you're right. If an agency does have this, it's like one person, maybe two at the most, per shop. And that's pretty rare in itself too.
Yeah. And what's kind of end up happening is that we work with all sorts of agencies, people who are, you know, high up on the A-list on Fast Company's Most Innovative Companies. We've helped get them there in a lot of cases. And, it has really kind of sharpened my particular philosophy about advertising and public relations, which is that the most effective public relations is when you're building newsworthiness into the work you do.
Yes.
Hallelujah for Dino up here.
Yes. It starts, the creative, it's easier to sell an agency or get the news out there when they have a reputation for producing great work.
Yeah. Well,
but then again, I'm curious then, like, they go, okay, well, you know, we need better people. We need better clients to create that great work. And then you don't do that. You don't get that if you don't have the work there. It's like this weird cycle.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, how do you even get going? And I actually think that's where we're, so there are lots of people and agencies who do PR for ad agencies. It is by itself kind of an odd little niche. One thing that makes us different from anyone else in this space is exactly the fact that we recognize that that's a challenge and we have ways to help solve it. So, our goal, as we always say to people, is not just to help you tell a story, but create a story worth telling. And so if there are pieces of that are missing, like you don't have the work, we'll talk to you about how to pull that out of your existing team. Will provide coaching. We'll bring in experts. We'll help you find better clients so that you can do, you know, work for people who really appreciate what you are. We help with, you know, shore up your culture if it's not leading to innovation. So all of these kinds of things are kind of the starting point. And then we take thought leadership and media relations and we bring that out into the world. So I would say in some ways we're a PR led consultancy. And really kind of our goal is to help create better agencies.
But it seems like are you telling me, like, so you'll help connect the dots, you'll bring in the right pieces so there is some sort of execution.
We have a consulting arm where we bring in either ourselves or other experts on a particular topic to kind of beef it up. That being said, like, I don't want to kind of like clearly the reason why people talk to us in the first place is because we're good at media relations. We know this space. And, you know, we can help connect them to the people and the reporters that they need to get their story told.
Now, is this mainly through like their local cities, publications, and then also the ad trades? Or what are these? How can you help these agencies up?
Yeah. So I would say we're typically looking at a few different places. I think the ad trades are incredibly important for agencies to show up in. And I know you talk to those folks a lot and have them as your guests. I think we have a tendency as an industry to say things like, what I really want is the Wall Street Journal. And I always kind of like, I hear that, like, almost like a bingo card of different things that clients say to me from time to time. It's like, Ad Age is great or Ad Week is great, but we want to be in the Wall Street Journal. And I'm like, yeah, so do I. So let's work on that. But like, you can't denying the fact that the ad trades are a really powerful source of information. It's still a place where people, where decision makers come, they read it. It's certainly changed from what it was 10 or even 5 years ago. But it is sort of the starting point.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I mean, listen, yeah, I think that's a good goal. Sometimes for some of our campaigns, I would love that if every campaign we produced was like a front page or some sort of pickup from Ad Age, Ad Week, Campaign, Digiday, any of those main ad trades. My job would be great, and people would love that. But I can't always get that.
Yeah, exactly. And then we do of course focus on the nationals, and especially advertising reporters. So it is, Fast Company and Wall Street Journal and New York Times and folks like that. And if it's a bigger one, we're looking at things like TV, so it kind of depends on the scale of the idea.
Yeah.
But I will say, I mean, in case you're listening, I would say that the reporters and editors that I work with in the ad trades are some of my favorite people. Like, they're just my friends inside and outside, and we're karaoke buddies. We have some war stories, some late night, I can't think of a better group of people that I like to work with.
I definitely strive to get that level. Do you feel like you are maybe, do you feel like you need to be in New York to create those relationships though?
Sometimes. It's funny to say that.
I feel a little bit out of the loop.
Yeah,
right now.
It's hard. I think you have to make the time to get to New York. And that's what I did for years, is I would try to get there almost like every quarter. But what's kind of cool is you almost get to know them better than the New York based PR people, because when you're always there, you don't connect. You're like, oh, we should have coffee. Great. That's like going to happen in 3 months or never. Where it's like, I'm in town next week for these 3 days. Can you meet me then? That's infinitely more likely to happen.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But you made the effort earlier, made it in your career, that helped you out. Okay. This is helping me a lot.
Yeah, exactly. I would say if I were operating completely virtually over here, it'd be trickier for sure.
Yeah. Starting off virtually, I mean, it was tough.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
You're like, who are these people? Plus, they're going through their own turmoil. So it's changing every 5 minutes.
A lot of movement, it seemed like, recently.
Yeah.
So what does your team, what does your agency look like? We've got a little bit of like the high level, what you guys are doing, what you're about. Who's with you? Who's helping you out? Yeah. Is it, just you? Because that's fine too. Sometimes
I
do it on their own.
I will say, when I first started out, I thought it was going to be just me, and I was super cool with that.
Yeah.
My company was originally called Mr. Sweat, because that's been my nickname since, high school for sure, at least. And it was great. I started working with some cool clients, quickly realized that it was going to grow bigger than me. So I took a step back and I thought, okay, yeah, I want to do this. In fact, it's funny, I had been working with one client for a while, finally starting to make things click, and I had two new clients come to me in the space of like a week.
That's great.
And
a little stressful, but
yeah. So I had two new clients come, and I said to my wife, I was like, I don't know what to do. I really can't, I don't want to take them on and like be worried about being able to do it. And she's like, well, and she's been very patient this whole time as I'm building my business, says, well, like, you're going to get help. And you're going to take this on because you're going to start bringing home the bacon. And so that's kind of how that started. It was, I've grown from there. We are about a 10 person, agency right now.
Nice.
We have been virtual from day one. Yep. I frankly work way, way better when I'm not surrounded by people. Yep. Some of these like open plan offices for me are like, I have ADHD, so just that amount of stimuli almost like shuts me down. So
yeah,
when I started working at home, it was like, why have I not been doing this my whole life?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure your employees are cool with it too.
Yeah, it is. Although, you know, I think, and this is something I'm sure that some of your younger, listeners can relate to, is that if you haven't worked in an agency, you don't have that kind of like culture and kind of experience of being there. Sometimes being virtual can be really challenging because you feel alone. You don't really know what it's like to be in an agency if you've never like hung out and at the coffee bar or whatever, like that kind of thing. And so it's important for any virtual organization to start making accommodations for that. So one thing we do is we get together, we put our budget into getting together for like offsites and retreats. So we have lots of bonding time. We figure if we don't have an office, let's put those resources elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's good that you're investing in that. And like, are your employees in the LA area or are they all over?
They're all over. Yeah. I mean, we have them in every time zone. It's worked out really well for us.
Gotcha. All right. I want to kick it back to how you got involved in all this, where you learned all this stuff to start your own company. So my next question is, when did you realize you want to do PR or advertising for a living?
Really late in life. The road in retrospect led me there. I didn't know that's where I was going. I was kind of joke that I've had like 7 midlife crises, probably starting by the time I was 17. And at each point you reevaluate where you want to go. And so I knew I wanted to be a writer, knew I wanted to be a novelist. I started out in journalism. The idea was, I studied poli-sci in college. I wanted to write about politics, eventually be a columnist or something like that. Well, when I came out of school, we were in a recession. Journalism jobs even then were hard to come by. And I found myself covering technology, and wasn't what I really cared about, but I got sucked into it. This is really just to age myself. This is literally at the beginning of the internet. I was at this publication and we were covering kind of like the world of Microsoft Windows, that kind of thing. And I kept on getting these press releases that were about, this thing called the World Wide Web. And we weren't covering it because that wasn't part of Microsoft. And so I literally went into my boss one night and I said, I think we need to do something about this internet. I think it's going to be big. And so we did launch a publication, probably one of the first publications that focused explicitly on the internet and the web, called Online Reporter. It's not around anymore, but that was sort of my first. Okay, so I was kind of there at the get-go. And then I worked on a publication called Information Week, which at the time was the kind of business and technology publication. We had these huge issues that we were putting in all the time. I covered customer relationship management, CRM, as really one of the only, I think I was the first reporter to cover it as a beat. And I ended up breaking the news that Salesforce.com was launching.
Nice.
It seemed like the craziest idea in the world that they were going to take on these like giants, you know. And I remember like meeting Mark Benioff, you know, in our conference room at my office. And I just thought, wow, this guy's got a lot of chutzpah, you know. He just like, I was kind of like, good luck, you know, and they took off and you know, it's been going ever since.
Wow.
But
that is awesome.
You know, the best part about covering CRM and the reason why I loved it so much as a beat was because it was never about the technology. It was about what the technology could do and specifically how it could connect to human beings. And that was really what I loved. And the more I got into it, the more I realized that that's something that I wanted to, you know, to be able to talk about more. So I left journalism partly because it's the only field that has worse hours than advertising. Yep. And definitely worse pay. But I went into marketing and I was doing essentially content marketing. Eventually I found myself at Yahoo, where I led their content marketing team for advertisers and agencies. And so that's how I really kind of got into the advertising world in the truest sense. I was covering agencies all the time, meeting with them, and just was fascinated by the culture and all these things, and ultimately was recruited by Deutsche LA to be the PR person. And I had always resisted going into PR when I was a reporter, even because you get recruited a lot to go into PR. And I didn't want to, because I kind of knew how difficult a job it can be. Even if you're working with the good reporters, which I was, I still made their lives miserable at times, you know? So like, I kind of didn't want to deal with it. And I honestly think advertising is the only field that I would be happy doing PR in, because there's just so much creativity. I mean, you know, put me in, you know, packaged goods or something like that, and I think I would have lasted 3 weeks, you know? So, but when they called me up, I said, well, you know, I'm not actually a PR person, right? And they said, yeah, that's okay. We think you can figure it out. And I was like, okay, yeah, I think I can too. And so they brought me on my first time in an agency, first time in a PR role. There was a huge learning curve, but really, really loved it. And I kind of came in at a time when Deutsche was on the rise nationally. They had just done the Force, the mini Darth Vader spot that probably you guys learned about in school.
Or from Tim on his tagline podcast.
Exactly. That's one of his all-time favorites, and for good reason. And, so they were kind of on a high. I was able to help them really establish their reputation, and then went over to 72 and Sunny, which was also kind of in that rise. Ultimately, I decided that I felt like I could be a better partner, PR partner, from the outside. Kind of having that little bit of a distance gave me perspective and allowed me to say like, hey, yeah, I know this seems awesome, but this is what's out there in the world. What can we do to make this better? And that's really kind of where
I could see that working out pretty well. That's lame.
And it's a trade-off, because having someone on the inside like yourself is amazing, because you're plugged in, but then every once in a while, there's always a pressure to drink the Kool-Aid.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard to say like, you know, there's not much I could do with this, or, you know, but then now what they're trying to do with me is they're trying to get me established earlier in the process.
See, that's exactly where you need to be. And I'll just like a little, this is not the point of this podcast, but like, if you're listening, if you have a PR person, get them in their room, like soon, like don't wait until it's ready when there's nothing they can do about it. Bring them in when there's a chance that they can influence the newsworthiness of this project.
And that's what I'm learning how to get better at, you know, understanding what is newsworthy, what's not. Like, that's the whole point of the job, just getting those fundamentals down. So getting in every room possible is really helpful. So I'm doing that, and also the internal communications part of it too.
Taking care of your stakeholders. I mean, I learned a ton. I kind of like view each pivot as a big learning opportunity, and I made mistakes and I got better, you know. And it's I think it's important. I always say, when people ask me my career path, I'm kind of like, well, I don't know that I would recommend my career path, because how could you follow that? Like it just went so many weird directions. But like I said, I think after all of these careers, I'm finally at a place where I feel like I belong. And, you know, so I'm just happy to be here at this point.
Yeah. A lot of people bundle PR and new business or marketing all together. What are your takes on that? Because we don't do that necessarily here where I'm working, but do people, when you were at 72 and Sunny, when you're at Deutsche, or when you're getting hired, do people kind of mistake you as like, you're going to guarantee them new business? Is that like their expectation ever?
You know, it's interesting. So that's there's kind of a couple questions I'll tackle there. One is, there is sometimes that expectation that like, PR leads to sales. And sometimes it does. I've definitely seen it, especially with some of our smaller clients, where an article will lead to a phone call, and
that's the best
scenario. Yes. But that, you know, I would say PR tends to be generally around awareness, and you'll start where that starts to pay off is like when you have these kind of repeated account wins and really cool creative and thought leadership. The cumulative effect is basically like, wait, so who are these guys? Like, I've been hearing about them all the time. And that's when
finally,
typically you're being invited to pitches, those kinds of things. Cause you're like, wow, I'm really curious. What's going on? You know? And I think that's, and I would say that's something like someone like 72 and Sunny really did is that like, and you know, most people weren't around when they were starting, but like we were just down the road from them and we kept on hearing these like little, these things that we're doing, and we're like, well, who are these guys? Like, you know, and it became this thing. And I know that like for clients, that's, you know, they want a little bit of that mystique and they want that, the buzz. And it's important, you know?
And in a perfect world, yeah, you will get new business, but it shouldn't be the expectation, I guess. It's that consistency. What about awards? Are you also doing awards for your clients? It's always a part of.
Yeah, it is. And I should say one thing I was going to say is that typically PR, unfortunately, is not closely aligned with new business or marketing for an agency. And I would say that for me is one of the biggest opportunities for agencies is to start thinking about their marketing the way that their clients would. You know, CMO typically in an agency is not really head of marketing, they're more like head of sales. And if our clients acted the way agencies do about marketing and new business, we would think they're crazy, you know, because we just like leave so much to chance. So even when I've reported to CMOs, there still wasn't the muscle memory of like, we need to treat all of this like a marketing plan. We have this and this coming together. People agencies aren't great at it. And I will say actually brands aren't great about incorporating PR either, but agencies are much worse. And because they just don't think about marketing in general. So there is, you know, there's for that, I think there's a huge amount of growth that can happen if you start viewing those two things as interrelated, which they truly can be. But your question about awards is, we do get involved. And the ones that we really care about are the ones that we would call kind of editorial driven awards. So, you know, that A-List, Adweek Agency of the Year, Campaign, Fast Company, Most Innovative Companies, and all
that
the related
tied, that are made by
anything that's done by a publication. And we do that for a couple of reasons. And I think they're an important PR tool, even if you're not going to win. Because as I say to people, every award is inherently a long shot. Like you don't know what else other agencies are bringing to the party. And it may not be your year, but I almost always advise people to enter if they have good things going on, because it is the one pitch that reporters are required to read. Because typically reporters and editors are the judges.
Yeah.
And so even if they don't pick you as like the final 10 or whatever it is, or the final 3 or 1, the next time they hear your name, they will know in great detail how you present yourself to the world. And so it's important to take that opportunity.
And then they invite you to the show and you go and
again, you
can help network.
And I think like, I did have a client recently who wasn't sure they were going to win. So they didn't go to like, you know, to the small agency conference, which, the ones that's important. And it was in Chicago. Did you go?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't go, but I know that it happened.
A lot of people went. Yeah.
Yeah. Escape Pod.
Yeah. And it was like, for us, like, well, I guess you wouldn't have qualified. I think Havas is not exactly a small agency, but, you know, it was like, they didn't win what they hoped to win, but they also missed the opportunity to like mingle with all the editors of that publication. And so everything pays off, and those in-person connections are incredibly important.
I see your point, but now I feel like my execs, they care a lot about the Big Five, those big international shows. They're so damn expensive, which is a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Like, cause a lot of my time is submitting these awards for Leah's DNADs, one shows.
It is a really important job that no one likes to do. It's the worst, right?
It's the worst job.
I don't know if you know the movie, The Princess Bride, but, when the Sicilian says you've created one of the two classic blunders, and the first one being a land war in Asia, I always say, and the second one is being involved in your agency's awards committee, because it is thankless. You're going to be putting a ton of time in. What I would say is this, though, is that for that, I think it's really important for agencies to truly think about what is out there in the world and whether they're going to win against it. Mm-hmm. Everybody enters the film category, which is kind of one of the more prestigious ones. We've got this great spot. Great, but is it better than these three ads that everybody's been talking about for the past year? Chances are they're going to win it, not you. Yeah. But then it becomes like, first of all, get really selective about what you submit. And second, change up the categories you submit it for. You don't have to have the film lion. If the best thing about it's music, even if you didn't do it, submit it on behalf of your partner that did do it. And you both get lions. They look the same on your shelf. There's nothing different. So I think for me,
diversify the solutions for sure.
So I think it's be strategic about it. But I would say if your agency had one or two truly strong pieces of work, then go all in.
Yeah. That's kind of been our strategy. We saw that won early on at a big award show and we just kept it rolling. Winning. So let's go all in. Yeah.
It is it's like the Grammys, the ones who win have won directors, DGA, they've won Golden Globes.
Yeah.
And it's like momentum builds momentum,
It so catches wind in the industry that I'm sure the other jury members, they know each other. And that's the other thing is getting our members for another thing I have to do is getting our people in to jury to be a part of these award shows as well.
Which seems like a silly thing, but it's actually really important,
Super.
Yeah. It's all a bit of a game, but if you're not in the room, then you don't really get a chance to influence kind of what ultimately happens.
Yeah. So I don't know. What advice, I guess, do you have for somebody that wants to get into PR for agencies, new business or any part of communications because I love it. At the end of the day, submitting awards is tough, but when you have great people, great writers, great strategists, or great having you help out, it makes it a lot easier. And if the work stands on its own, it should stand on its own too. So it's a great little niche role that I love explaining to people.
They're like, wait, ad agencies need PR people? And I'm like, yeah, they want to be famous too. Everybody wants to be famous in our own little world.
What advice do you have for the people that might be interested in that? How do you break into it?
Yeah. So that's a really good question. I was thinking a lot about this because obviously my path was unconventional. But I do think that it's a great niche for people who are, they want to be part of advertising, but don't view themselves as, say, a traditional creative or an account person or whatever. Like I was saying, if you're going to do PR, this is one of the best industries you could do because you're always working with interesting people. Typically you are brought in at sort of like the best and the brightest projects so that you don't get bored, So what I would say is, make sure that you truly understand what reporters need, first of all. And that's going to mean that you're going to be reading a lot of these publications we talked about. My go-tos, are always, you know, ad age, ad week, Digiday, Morning Brew, Wall Street Journal, stuff like that. I think try to understand what it is that they are going for. I would actually say if you can put in any time as a journalist, that's incredibly powerful. Even if you know you want to be in PR, because I think that's the one thing that is very difficult to teach a PR person is what is it the reporters actually want? What is it going to make it easier? And that was despite all of the other things that I had going on that were challenges when I moved over into advertising and PR. But one thing that never was in doubt was what do reporters need? Like, so I could always, so I started from a position of strength. And so I think that's really important. And I also think, you know, it's realizing how important PR is to advertising as well. Because most of the things that we build today in advertising are meant to be talked about. They're successful because people talk about them. So if you can build in newsworthiness into these, you know, campaigns, if you can help influence that, then you're not only helping your agency with PR, but you're helping the client, you're helping the work to be more successful.
Yep. 100%. And that's what they look for in those case studies too.
Yep, exactly. It's all the sexy stuff, you know, and that's my feeling is like, if a reporter likes it, then consumers are going to like it.
Yeah. That's their job, right?
And one little kind of aside before I go back to kind of what my advice is, the biggest question I always ask teams when they bring us work is, if I hadn't worked on this project, would I post it on social media? Because that's an incredibly high bar for most of us. Like, we don't post anything on social media that does that messes with the image that we've crafted.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because our cred is affected by that. And so when you start asking people like, what brand stuff do you share? It's a pretty small amount of stuff. And I've generally found that like the things that are the biggest hits in advertising, I find out first on my social media channels before I even see it in the ad press, because it just struck a nerve, you know?
Yeah.
So, but you know, when you're
high bar.
Yeah, exactly. So when you're going out to a reporter, you're asking them to put their cred on the line, their reputation and their taste are what make them successful. And so whatever you create ultimately has to appeal to, you know, to this like very small focus group of people, and they're going to give the stamp and say, yep, this is worth it. Let's put it out there. And that's what it takes to break through. So that's not understanding that will help you a lot in learning PR. But you know, the main thing I would say is, and I think this is true for not just the PR role, but other parts, is that, you know, you need to bring your whole self to the agency. And I think I've witnessed this lots where people kind of feel like they have to kind of put things off to the side, you know, their little passions or side hustles, that kind of thing. And I've even occasionally heard it from leadership, but for the most part, I think that we are a creative field and we're full of like oddballs and misfits and people who didn't quite find the right home anywhere else.
Yep.
And that's actually what it makes it pretty phenomenal. And so if there are parts of your resume that you might leave off normally for advertising, you'd probably want to make sure you're focusing on that.
Oh yeah. And what was that for you?
So for me, it was journalism. And, you know, I was lucky in the sense that I came into advertising. I broke in at a leadership level. You know, I was one of the, I actually was like an SVP when I came over, which was like mind blowing because, you know, agencies totally inflate titles, by the way, if you guys don't know, like an SVP, like I worked at Yahoo right before. There were 8 SVPs in the entire company, which is like 15,000 people. And then I came to my agency and I was one of like 20 SVPs, you know, from a 500 person company. So anyway, but it was still pretty cool. But, you know, the reason why is because I had that domain expertise. And, you know, yes, I had things to catch up on, but I knew what I needed to do to be successful. And, you know, a friend of mine kind of came into advertising at the same time. He had gone to film school at USC, had done some really, cool stuff, projects that ultimately maybe didn't have commercial success. And he asked me for advice, like, what do I do? You know, and I said, well, you need to make sure you find a role that takes advantage of the fact that you had those capabilities.
Yep.
They're not going to hire a filmmaker. That's not what they need. But a creative who understands film and storytelling is absolutely essential. And the other piece of advice I would say that's true for the PR role, but also for anyone,
sure,
is about storytelling. You know, I think skills will come and go, technology will come and go. But if you don't understand how to connect with people through a story, whether it's reporters or through your audience, you're probably not going to have a very successful career. And by the way, if you're sitting there thinking, well, I only want to be an account person, I don't, you know, what do I need to care about the story? You absolutely do have a role in that because you're the one who is advocating for that with the client, making sure that story has a chance to take root, you know?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
So I would say, like, you know, that's the part I would say hone in whatever form makes sense to you. You know, whether you are, I'm a novelist, I have a couple of books out. So for me, story is, again, something that I think about all the time. But I think whatever it is you do, make sure that it is helping you understand and to tell a story.
I love it. For me, that was my podcast.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
It
doesn't hurt.
And things unlock. Like right now I've been doing this kind of like exercise where every week I'll go out and I'll do something that's a different sort of art form than what I'm used to. I'll take pictures or something like that. I went to like a Frank Lloyd Wright house and I just started sketching.
Oh, nice.
I haven't drawn anything in like 30 years. And I'm not saying I was good even then. So it was this idea of like going and just like trying to see details in new ways. Like all of that, you know, it could be writing a song, it could be doing whatever, learning guitar. I think all of that helps you just approach creativity in different ways.
Yeah. Forced creativity seems like oxymoron, but it helps.
You got to make time for it. It doesn't, life is not inherently creative. So you've got to figure out how to nurture that creativity in interesting ways.
I love it. All right, Jeff, I appreciate you coming on. I have no other questions for you. How can people reach out to you, find the books that you wrote?
Sure. So I'm reachable in two places. If you're interested in my books, which are post-apocalyptic stories about a world where no one lives past the age of 17, which that was, by the way, pre-COVID. And I was a little scared to learn how true some of these things started feeling. So they're called Mayfly and Scorpion. You can check them out on Amazon or at jeffsweatbooks.com. And then for the company, check out sweatandco.com. Everything's spelled out. And you'll learn more about our team and all that kind of stuff.
Perfect.
But I'm always up for a chat if you are interested in learning more about PR or about this industry. Drop me a line on LinkedIn.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on. You crushed it, and we will be in touch.
Great. Thanks, Gina.
Thank you so much for listening to this entire episode of the Breaking and Entering Advertising podcast. If you like what you heard, it would mean a lot to us and help us grow and get better guests and better break-ins if you can go to Apple Podcasts and leave us 5 stars and a small review if you have the time. Be sure to connect with our guests if you like what they said by going to our Instagram at Breaking and Entering Pod. That's all one word, Breaking and Entering Pod on Instagram. We have links to their portfolios and their LinkedIn, and they want to connect, so do that. And thank yous. Thank you to Mikey Malarkey, our audio engineer, and Buchan Jung, our creative director. Can't do it without you two, and a team from the University of Illinois. It's a student team from the agency called AdBuzz. They're a PR agency, and it's been a pleasure working with them. Thank you all so much, and we will see you next week with another amazing guest. Thank you